Welcome to Body Sculpt of New York, 6 weeks to fitness podcast, where we hope to inform, motivate, encourage, and inspire you towards living a healthier lifestyle. And now, here's your host, the president of Body Sculpt of New York, Vince Ferguson.
Hi, I'm Vince Ferguson. Welcome to 6 Weeks of Fitness, episode number 36. Thank you so much for tuning in. Now, if you know of anyone in need of personal training, group fitness instruction, or nutrition counseling, please contact me at vince@sixweeks.com or call 718-346-5852. In this episode, I will be joined by Dawn Michelle Hardy, award-winning publicist and founder of Dream Relations PR and Literary Consulting. During the interview, Dawn will discuss what it was like to prepare and run in the 2014 New York City Marathon and how she manages to maintain a healthy lifestyle in the midst of the day-to-day stress of running a very successful PR company for self-published authors. Dawn will also share tips for authors looking to self-publish their first book and the techniques she uses to book her clients on major television and radio shows. Now remember the words of Brian Tracy, who said, "I found that luck is quite predictable. If you want more luck, take more chances. Be more active. Show up more often." Now that's worth thinking about. Welcome back to 6 Weeks of Fitness. Dawn Michelle Hardy is an award-winning publicist who founded Dream Relations PR and Literary Consulting in 2004 after running the day-to-day operations for New York Times best-selling author Terry Woods from Terry Woods Publishing. She was awarded the 2010 Book Publicist of the Year honor by the African Americans on the Move Book Club. Dawn Michelle has a strong reputation in the book publishing industry for taking novelists and self-published authors out of the box and beyond the book pages. The results are powerful, seamless, consistent messaging that is conveyed across all platforms of media, print, radio, online, television, and new technologies. Some of Dawn's author clients include national best-selling romance and contemporary author Niobe Bryant, Phyllis Wheatley Award winner Sadiqa Johnson, who wrote Love in a Carry-On Bag, along with White House Champion of Change and award-winning author Tracy Syfax from The Block to the Boardroom. Her agency also represents the producer, Kevin Brown, and director Mills Miller for the Behind the Books documentary on urban fiction. In addition to books, she works with sports and fitness nonprofits and faith-based brands. Dawn Michelle has handled publicity for A Night of Hope for Haiti in Times Square with Joel Osteen and Hezekiah Walker, Children's Sports and Fitness Expo presented by Body Sculpt of New York, and certified personal trainer to Bill and Hillary Clinton, Ralph Hennig. Dawn Michelle Hardy consistently does interviews and contributes articles on publishing trends and book publicity. I am pleased to have her on the program. Dawn, how are you?
Hi, Vince. How's it going?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much. Now, you have got to be one of the busiest publicists I know. Not only do you work with not-for-profit organizations like mine, but you're simultaneously working with authors and providing publicity for other events. How do you maintain a healthy lifestyle with such a busy schedule?
Oh, my gosh. I guess the day started early. I started running back like in 2009. And so part of my main fitness regimen is to either run first thing in the morning or like after work. And then I always work out on the weekends. But I actually find that the running actually helps me in doing my work more effectively because I think come up with great ideas, but then also it also relieves stress. There's a lot of stress involved in doing publicity. So running actually relieves the stress so that every day I start out refreshed.
Well, that's important because I know from experience on the demands that I put on you when I need you to do stuff for my organization. I can only imagine what it's like to have other clients calling you and pulling at you simultaneously.
it can get crazy. It can get crazy. But I honestly love what I do. So, you know, the fact that I love it so much, the craziness is really just, you know, an opportunity to exceed expectations.
Wow. Okay, yeah. That's excellent. That's good to hear. Now, I also understand you ran your first marathon this year. Tell us about that experience.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so it was the TCS New York City Marathon. Like I said, I've been running since 2009. So I've done everything from, 5K, 4 or 5 miles. My very first race was a 10K, which is 6.2 miles. And then last year, I did my first half marathon, and I ran in Jamaica. I did the Brooklyn half marathon. So, at the end of last year, someone in my running group basically said, okay, you know what's next? And for me, I was like, no, what's next? And they were like, oh, you need to do a marathon. So if I was going to commit to 26.2 miles, I needed to be home. Like, there's marathons all around the world, but New York City is the premier and the most attended marathon in the world. So, I trained for 6 months. I raised $2,600 for Team for Kids, which is a nonprofit that works to bring running programs to inner city schools. So it was an amazing experience. The last 4 miles hurt, but nonetheless, I'm officially part of that 1%. I'm a marathoner. It was a great experience. I definitely want to do it again. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. But what was the training process like to get to prepare for the marathon?
Well, through Team for Kids, they have, when you sign up a 16, 18, or 20-week training program. So I signed up for the 20-week training program. So they pretty much have you running 4 times a week, with long runs being on a Sunday. So let's say the first week you're running 3 miles a day, 3 days within that week. Then your long run would be double the amount that you ran, individually. So my long run would be 6 miles because I've been running 3 mile runs throughout the week. And it continued to go up. It went all the way up to 20 miles, and then it began to taper down. So the 20 mile run obviously was the hardest. But
yes,
it was one of those type of things, wow, I ran 20 miles and I'm not getting a trophy, a medal, a t-shirt. There's no cheering section. 20 miles is just training. But at that point, I'm like, wow, I know I can do this because I just ran 20 miles and I'm not even getting anything. I'm not even getting recognition. So I actually went out and bought myself a dress.
Wow.
Yeah, because I had to do something for myself. So, 18 weeks, of training, but a lot of yoga, and I did a lot of lifting weights as well.
Oh, you incorporated yoga and lifting weights?
Yeah, because, with the running before and after, stretching is really, really, really important to stretch the muscles so that you get full use of them when you are running. But to me, I also find stretching boring. I know how important it is, but because it bores me, my running coach suggested that because he didn't feel I was stretching properly enough, if I take yoga, it would challenge my body, but also I would be getting the stretches that I want because they also have yoga classes designed for runners. So the moves that they're giving you are specifically to attend to the muscles that you'll use most when running. So I started taking yoga for runners.
Okay. Did you say you also had a running coach?
Yeah, through Team for Kids. So you have multiple coaches, but when you run the organization, so the long ones. For me, I'm definitely a person that finishes middle of the pack. So for me to run 10 miles is going to just take me somewhere about 90 minutes, 2 hours. So at that point in time, I can either run by myself with my headphones on, or I get up early in the morning and we would meet at 7 a.m. and run with the group. That way you have someone pacing you, someone to say, oh, straighten your back up, put your arms closer to your side. So they check your form so that you're not exerting yourself because you're just doing the wrong thing, and they kind of make your body go in autopilot. So it's good to have a coach, yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah. That's really.
And they help you with speed work, yeah.
What part did nutrition play into this?
Oh, my gosh. I do so many things fitness-wise. So I'm also a part of CrossFit Dumbo. I like to do CrossFit. I know a lot of people don't like it. It's kind of crazy, but I love CrossFit. Because, again, I like the challenge when it comes to fitness. So for me, it's all about the challenge. But within CrossFit, twice a year they have what's called the Whole Life Challenge. And within the Whole Life Challenge, you have to eat paleo style. So paleo is basically taking your nutrition back to the days of the Paleozoic era. So if it wasn't available when dinosaurs roamed the earth, you can't eat it. So no alcohol, no sugar, no type of wheat and processed foods. Wheat is only 30,000 years old and just how they agriculturally developed the wheat. So that's why a lot of people have allergies, gluten-free and so forth. So no wheat, no dairy, no sugar, no alcohol. And you basically have to eat that way for 56 days. And it just so happened that when I started that, it was going to lead me throughout the rest of my training and into a week after. So basically, I wasn't eating anything that wasn't grown from the earth, some type of meat or fish, for 56 days, which is basically 8 weeks. So the last 8 weeks of my training, I dropped inches, I dropped weight, and my system, like, I just became lighter, you know, which obviously helps because it's hard to, like, you know, be sluggish and weigh yourself down and then attempt to do in this distance running. So the fitness yes. part, eating clean, was amazing.
Wow. Yeah. Now that the marathon is over, though, do you still maintain some type of, regimen when it comes to?
Yeah. So now I'm on to my next challenge, which is, and this is just something that's self-imposed, which is I really just want to focus on shredding body fat. So a lot of people I know when they think about fitness, especially women, it's always about the scale. How much do I weigh? How much do I weigh? Honestly, I don't really know how much I weigh. I can estimate, but I really don't know how much I weigh. What I do know is the inches of my waist and the inches of my hips, and I know what my percentage of body fat is. So over the next 2 months, January and February, my focus is really to do a lot of body weight training where I'm not going to be lifting weights, but doing things like Pilates and plyometrics where I'm only using my own body because I really want to lose inches, but also just drop my body fat. So I'm never getting on the scale, but I do get tested to get my measurements taken and, again, body fat. So that's what I'm doing over the next couple of months is just body weight training and plyometrics.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's like your next fitness goal right there.
Yeah.
To focus on that.
Yeah. So for me, I like to always have something because, you know, you get a gym membership. What's going to keep you going when you fit into the jeans or the dress? Like, why now that you wear that, why still go? You know, so for me, it's like, okay, what can be the next challenge? And again, you know, no one has ever been told they're too healthy, so why not?
Okay. So you believe, though, in the importance of setting goals.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I've been setting goals since 2009, yeah. So I'm always setting a fitness goal, yeah.
That is great. That is great. So let's talk now about your company, Dream Relations PR and Literary Consulting.
Okay, cool.
All right. Now, what was the impetus for starting your company?
Well, I work with Terry, and everyone knows Terry Woods is, the author of Truth to the Game, and that, you know, became a bestseller. So in working with her, because it was she was a self-published author, I got an opportunity to learn all the facets of self-publishing a book, from taking it from the manuscript stage all the way to an opportunity where the end user can purchase a copy. So I worked with her for about 2 years. The one aspect that I loved the most out of the work that I did was the publicity part. But at that time, I was meeting a lot of urban fiction authors who wanted me to work with them. And, you know, I felt it was a non-compete situation. I couldn't work full-time for Terry and then take on other people competing with her. So once I started my agency, I basically spread the word to bookstores, editors, authors. You know, I started my agency and that I was strictly doing consulting if a person wanted to self-publish. And if they already self-published and they were just looking for publicity, then I could do publicity for them as well. Because, again, when you're self-published, you don't have a team around you. You don't have an in-house publicist like a Simon & Schuster. So you as a publisher, whatever you are able to do, that's all you have. So I basically served as a resource for authors who wanted to self-publish, and I would be the promotional part of, you know, of their book venture.
I see, yeah. I see. But now, how did you launch your career, though, and get to where you are today?
Well, I think, you know, to me, honestly, when you do good work, people will recognize it. And in the time that I worked with Terry, she was so successful, and everyone knew that it was just pretty much her and I. So they knew what she was doing, and they knew that the rest was pretty much in my hands. And then, like I said, you know, I started working with authors. One of the first authors I worked with when I started my company was an author named Niasha, and she had got a 2-book deal with Simon & Schuster. Some of the first press that I got her as a brand new author was BET, a television interview on BET, and a radio interview on Wendy Williams when Wendy Williams was still on the radio. So people recognize that. There are other new authors out there that can see, wow, she worked with this new author and she got her TV and radio. wow, what can she do for me? Miyasha was then featured in Essence magazine. So people can see the work that you do. And then again, I'm very niche. I work with either first-time authors or authors who are self-published. So that's a group of people that need the most help, but very little people are willing to help them. Anybody's willing to work with the stars of the world, but who's willing to work with the next wave of stars? You know, so to me, I think if I offer that opportunity, one, I'm helping people pursue, you know, their careers. And then at the same time, it sets me apart. Like, everybody can't be competing to work with the celebrity. Just work with the next person in line. So that's pretty much what I do. And I think people appreciate the fact that I'm an advocate for authors.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. But, you know, I can speak from experience because, as you know, I've written a couple books, and I don't consider myself an accomplished author, but the children's book that I've written, you know, 6 Weeks of Fitness for Kids, basically, I wouldn't have gotten on Good Morning America Health if it wasn't for you.
Yeah, I mean, and even that was a, you know, a great opportunity. And again, it's most publishers would not even think to pitch your book for Good Morning America Health because you're self-published. If you were with HarperCollins, you know, it would be easy for them to do, but they wouldn't think that a self-published author, you know, could get on there. But for me, one of the things about the agency as far as going out of the box, so yes, it's a fitness book that you have. Yes, it's about children, but it's still about children's health. So it's not really that I led with the fact that you're an author. I led with the fact that you also came to the table being the founder of Body Sculpt of New York and running the Children's Sports and Fitness Expo. So when you put the book together, along with Body Sculpt, along with the Children's Sports and Fitness Expo, this is saying I'm pitching a man who is an expert on children's health and combating child obesity, who happens to have a book that you guys can feature if you like. But you saw, you know, what we did was basically a fitness segment of you working out with kids. So that's less about the book and more about the content inside the pages of the book. And I think my creativity allows me to say, if people aren't going to be interested in the book because it's self-published, let's crack open the pages and see if we can get the person to be an expert about whatever he's talking about inside the book. And, you know, that's how you got that. You have so much going on in addition to the book that you were an ideal candidate, yeah.
But it's also important to have someone like yourself who knows how to actually pull it together.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Absolutely, absolutely.
That's important because you knew how to pitch it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's the important thing. You know, everybody wants the promotion, and that's totally fine. You know, everyone wants to be on the radio to promote their book or be on television. But I always tell authors, especially new authors and self-published authors, what can you offer the radio station? What can you offer the newspaper? What can you offer the television? And these people have jobs to do. If you can say, I can be of service and help you do your job in some type of way, that's how you get the placement. Because everybody's going to ask, can you promote my book? But how does promoting your book help me do my job as the producer of Good Morning America Health? You know, and that's I think about those questions, and then I say, I know how I can help you. Do you do a children's segment? Child obesity is really big, and I have a guy who has been working with child obesity for 19-plus years. You guys should do something with him, and let's bring some kids on. So at that point in time, I've been of service. You as the author have been of service, and lo and behold, we get the placement. Because at no point in time did I ever ask for book publicity. I never asked, oh, can you interview this author? I pitched right from the beginning, let's do a segment on kids' health. And the producer happened to have a four-year-old son. So, you know, she was like, oh, yeah. My God, my son could be in the segment. Yes. And there you go. Everyone is happy.
Exactly. Everyone is happy.
Yeah.
That is so cool. Now, listen, how do you define success, Dawn?
You know, every time I do an interview, that's a question that people always ask. You know, at one point in time, I would have said, oh, you know, if I can be in business for 10 years, I would say that that would be success. You know, December 14th, made 10 years. So when I really think about it, I think the fact that what my agency does and what I do as a publicist is basically helping people who have a dream or a goal to write a book and get a certain level of notoriety for this labor of love, which is in their book. So to me, the fact that I'm an advocate and helping people, I define that as success. You know, Sadiqa, she's the author of Love in a Carry-On Bag. We worked with her project in 2012, and the publicity that we got her, along with her amazing writing, landed her a two-book deal, and her book her next two books are going to be with St. Martin's Press. So she's no longer a self-published author at this point. That work that we put in has allowed her to fulfill her dreams, which was she always wanted to get a book deal with a major publishing company. And now she has that. And the publicity and the work that we did with her self-published book allowed that to happen. So to me, I would say success is when you're able to help others reach their dreams and reach their goals. And to me, we've done that. You know, that's how I would define success.
Well, that's a great way to define it, you know?
Yeah.
You're all about the client.
Yeah, you know, you pay it forward. Like, you know, I have mentors and people in publishing. You know, I'm working on an outline for my first book. So all that I've paid forward over the last 10 years and working with other authors, all of that energy that I've put out there, I'm very excited for the opportunity to work on my own book because I know how much energy I've put out there already in helping others with their book. Now, I'm expecting a tsunami of that positive energy to come back to me when I'm ready for to release my first book.
Wow.
You know, so I'm excited about that.
As well you should be. That's good. That's good. Now, what advice would you give to fellow entrepreneurs?
You know, it's as cliche as it sounds, then, you know, everyone will always say, you know, don't give up. And that would definitely be the first line of advice is, you know, is not to give up. If you genuinely believe that the business or the venture that you're going into is truly what you're supposed to be doing and you can see how it can benefit others aside from yourself and your own financial gain, then I would definitely say, you know, don't give up. But also at the same time, research. Now that we have the internet, I feel like there's all sources of information that are available. And if a person really is going to leap out into entrepreneurship, they need to do as much research and talk to other entrepreneurs, research the industry that they're going into and see where they can fit in and be special. So it doesn't matter how many people start websites. If you can start a website and say, everyone's covering this, but no one has ever covered this particular topic, find a niche for yourself. So as an entrepreneur, find a niche. And then also, you know, once you have, don't give up. Like, you know, you'll have amazing seasons and you'll have seasons where you're like, oh my God, I need to send out my resume and get a 9-to-5. But if you genuinely believe in what you're doing, don't give up. Don't stop.
Don't stop.
Yeah, don't stop.
I like that.
Look at Bill Gates. I don't doubt for a second along the way that he had some crappy days in those first years. I mean, he had to borrow $300 from a friend just to get the business off the ground. But now he's a billionaire, but he still had to borrow money, you know? So I'm sure that kind of was a down time for him, but he made it happen and he didn't give up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I agree 100%. Now, can you share three tips that will help self-published authors promote their books?
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. I mean, like, only three? Okay, let's see. Only three.
Okay.
I definitely believe that having a website and making sure that the level of professionalism that is put into the website is so important because that's going to be the hub that everyone, whether it's a consumer, a reporter, or someone at a major publishing house, everyone is going to go to your website to learn more about your book. So your website should look beautiful, and I think a lot of time and energy and maybe even money should be spent in making sure that the website is very attractive, clean, and professional. The next thing is that same level of time and attention needs to be spent to editing. I think all self-published authors need to invest in an editor because at the end of the day, any type of publicity that a self-published author wants is going to come from someone who writes for a living as a journalist, as a magazine writer, as a TV producer. They write for a living, so they know good writing. So invest in having a good editor. And then I think the third thing would be, again, another cliche where people say, don't judge a book by its cover. In book publishing, especially when a book is self-published, books are judged by their cover. So you want to make sure simplicity, clean, again, professional, not too busy, and don't be so wedded to your own idea for what you want the cover to look like that you're not open to criticism from someone who's a professional designer or someone who works in the book industry. I had a client who had an opportunity for her book to be featured on BET.com for holidays. When I put her book alongside the other books that I was submitting, while her story was an amazing story, her cover didn't match the integrity of BET. It didn't match the integrity of my agency. And it didn't match the integrity of the other books that I was sending. So she wound up not getting the placement because her cover didn't have the look that matched the integrity of the media outlet. So you never want to have a good story, but a person say, oh, Dawn, I can't run this because the cover is horrible.
Wow.
You know? So again, you know, what the cover looks like can either allow you to get press or prevent you from getting press. So books are judged by their cover, especially when they're self-published. So website, good editing, amazing cover design.
Well, those are three excellent tips, really. That's very good, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's going to...
It's important. It's a lot of work, but those are things, you know, the world is going to be judging you by your book. You know, what's inside of it and how it looks.
Oh, my goodness. So if you can't, but what if you can't afford to hire a graphic designer for your cover?
Oh, okay. Well, one of the things I always suggest, I'm a big fan of interns. I like to have interns for the PR agency. People who are in college are talented. They just haven't gotten the degree or the full-time job yet. I suggest that people, wherever a person lives, there's always a college or a university around. You can find your talent, especially for graphic designers, you can find your talent at colleges, and you can have an intern. And, you know, even if you can't pay them like a nominal fee, the fact that they'll get several copies of the book, that you will acknowledge their full name and the work, amazing work that they've done for you in the acknowledgement, because then that serves as a portfolio piece for somebody who is one day going to get a job. But now that person, when they go on an interview, they can bring a copy of their book on the interview in addition to their resume to say, I have done real work. This is a published book and I designed the cover. So colleges, getting interns and getting college students for graphic work and as well as web design as well.
Really?
Yeah. Because again, they're starving for the opportunity to work on something that's not a class project. And the job market is so competitive that, you know, 10 kids graduate tomorrow, but none of them have anything to show except for classwork. And then here comes one student who has designed a website, who has designed an author's book cover. Someone has invested in them in real life and appreciates their work. You know, everything in the classroom is simulation. But this one student actually has some real-life credits to him. That's the person more than likely that will get hired.
That's true.
You know, so you present it to them in a way of you need something to give you a leg up in looking for a job. You know,
and I need
some graphic work, you know, at a nominal fee. Let's work together.
I like that very much.
Yeah, I'm very frugal. I don't believe in spending a whole bunch of money. I believe in taking the resources that you have and make them stretch.
Yeah, especially in today's economy.
Yeah.
Definitely. Now, any advice for those who wish to publish their first book?
Yes. Like what I'm doing for myself now is put together an outline. So whether your book is fiction or nonfiction, if you put together an outline, and that outline should consist of who you believe the target audience is for the book, and then break it down chapter by chapter on what the book is going to include. So obviously if it's nonfiction, you know, each chapter will cover a different subject matter. And if it's a novel, you still want to do a chapter by chapter outline of your full story so you know where you're going. I find it's easier for authors to work by an outline as opposed to just trying to make it up as they go along. At least an outline gives you, you now have a blueprint to work from, because writing a book is really hard. So I think the smarter you can go into that process, the better it is. So anybody who's looking to write or publish their first book in 2015, if they haven't written a book already, start with the outline. You know, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, start with an outline.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Now, what's the coolest project you've ever worked on so far?
The coolest project. It's a lot that I like. When I was working with Shadika, we did for her debut novel, Love in a Carry-On Bag. I created this concept, which I actually want to bring back in 2015. I created a concept called Books and Beats. So it was basically a way for self-published authors to have signing events. But what I did was I partnered them with an independent musical act that had the same demographic. So if your book is, you know, about love and long distance relationships, then I'll partner you with a songstress who is singing R&B and love songs. And now you guys are both independent. You both have independent projects, but together you can fill the room, and it's a more entertaining signing event because there's live music and there's an author reading. So it's called Books and Beats. So I'm actually going to bring that back in 2015.
Really?
Yeah.
That's, and it's Books and Beats?
Books and Beats, mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm like, and these things, I don't know, like, you know, I'm blessed to be creative, that literally I come up with these ideas in an effort to say, I know that a person is not going to come out to a signing of a self-published author that they don't know. But people do like to go to events. So it's no longer a book signing. It's an event that we're having. And the event is Books and Beats, live music and author readings all in one.
Sounds really good. Now, what are the future goals for you and Dream Relations?
Future goals. I would like to see more of the self-published authors that we represent for publicity obtain book deals with major publishers. That's definitely something that now we're being really selective in the type of fiction that we take on in hopes of building the author's platform enough and getting enough traction and buzz that we then can revisit major publishing companies and get those authors signed to publishing companies. And then I would love, you know, for one of our clients' projects to be turned into a film. You know, everybody in publishing who has a book wants it to be a movie or a TV show or something at that point in time. So that book to film is still always, you know, a goal and a hope of mine.
Right. Okay. Excellent. Now, are you able to handle additional clients or are you
good? Yeah, absolutely. You know, most times, like, we're usually working, like, we try to limit the type of clients we work for because we want to work with people anywhere between, you know, 4 months minimum all the way up to, you know, 6 or 9 months. But I'm always looking. Right now, I'm looking for, you know, people in the realm of health and fitness because, again, New Year's is coming and everybody makes those fitness resolutions. So I'm looking to represent people who are fitness experts and obviously have a book that can tie in so that they can serve as the expert. All of that New Year's resolution conversation about healthy living, healthy eating, and so forth. And that's something that obviously, you know, that's a conversation that can continue throughout the year. So a lot more nonfiction I'm looking for. Health and fitness, relationships, spirituality, those are subject matters that I'm looking for. And always really well-written contemporary women's fiction. Yeah.
Okay, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, how can my listeners find out more about you and your company?
Well, I definitely encourage, you know, anyone who listens to the podcast to like the Dream Relations PR agency page on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at Dream Relations, D-R-E-A-M, and then relations, like public relations. And then we have a website, dreamrelations.com. You know, dreamrelations.com. And I'm always, if a person Googles me, I'm always doing articles and interviews, sharing information. Before the year is over, I'm going to do a couple of Twitter chats and Facebook chats where authors can basically just log on and just ask me questions as it relates to books, publishing, PR, and I'll just be answering a series of questions for like an hour.
Okay, yeah. Great. Now, I have one more question, Dawn. I want to know, how do you balance work and life? I mean, you're so busy. How do you balance both of them?
You know, I try not to – I always announce to clients, oh, this is a working weekend. But I'm very diligent about not working on the weekends and using that time to spend with family and friends because, you know, I need people who are not necessarily picking my brain for my intellectual property, but that I just want to hang out and have a good time and, you know, grab a drink. So I really try to set limitations on the hours that I'm working. Monday through Friday, I'm available, but on the weekends, I really like to watch my sports. I'm into fantasy football. You know, I like to do my running and my yoga and then hang out with family and friends. So I really try to make a clear definition. Monday through Friday, I work. Saturday and Sunday, that's for me to rejuvenate and enjoy myself because in the enjoyment is where my creativity comes from. So I have a good time over the weekend, good ideas come to me, and I can execute those with the clients on Monday. So, yeah, so I really try to keep that balance going.
It's not easy, though, is it?
No. Oh, gosh, it's not easy. You know, especially in the world of technology, if I'm on Twitter, I'll get a client that's like, oh, I see you on Twitter. I have a quick question. And I'm like, no, I'm on Twitter to talk about fantasy football. Email me and I'll get back to you on Monday. So, you know, it does, the line does get blurry, you know, you'll get a message or two on Instagram and things of that nature. But, you know, for the most part, clients understand. Like, you have to, a person can't be business all the time. I mean, even Oprah enjoys herself.
Yes, you that's know. True. Even Oprah, that's true.
Yeah. So Oprah can find time to have some downtime and play. So can I.
Exactly. So Dawn, on behalf of Body Scope of New York and 6 Weeks to Fitness, I want to thank you for coming on our show.
Oh, Vince, no problem. I love it. I love talking to you. I'm so glad that you're doing this podcast. I think this is awesome.
Oh, you thank you so much. And to my listeners, I truly hope this program was informative, encouraging, and inspiring, and that you will continue tuning in to our 6 Weeks to Fitness podcast. And if you have any questions or comments, please leave them on my 6 Weeks to Fitness blog at www.6weeks.com or email me at vince@6weeks.com. Take care. Bye-bye.